If you will take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 14, we're going to continue on in the study of Mark, and we're real close, but we're not quite to the resurrection. In Mark chapter 14, good Lord willing, we'll study through verses 12 through 25. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city. A man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And I will show you, he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare for us.' And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.' And they began to be sorrowful and to say to one another, or say to him one after another, 'Is it I?' He said to them, 'It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, this is my body.' Then he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, let it, I pray, this afternoon teach us to worship you aright. Lord, thank you for all the ways that you have shown us your deliverance for your people. I pray this afternoon that you will encourage us with the gospel. You would even encourage us as we see you passing over your people to deliver them from Egypt. We do thank you for your great grace and mercy. It is through Jesus that it is most clearly seen. And it is through Jesus that we hope to be saved. And it's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. Well, in Mark 14, we are getting very close to the end of Jesus' life. But we find here that they are going to observe the Passover meal. And then ultimately during that Passover meal, Jesus will give a new interpretation or the most full understanding of what truly the bread represents and what truly the wine represents. I wanted for us to look back. We're going to look to Exodus. But there in Mark chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where would you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" And by us looking back in the Old Testament, we're going to see what is this that Jesus and his disciples are celebrating. What's the whole basis? And I hope that we will be encouraged to see God's mighty work of deliverance. For he can work and he does work to accomplish the salvation of his people. And we can see that. I hope that you see, as you study the Bible, a great unity in Scripture. For God has been working. He has been glorifying Himself, revealing Himself to this world, and again accomplishing the salvation of His people. So on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, this is something that Jesus observed, all the Jewish people observed, and others that desired to, you know, if they were strangers, they had to observe in the way that was set out very clearly in the Old Testament law. Or in Exodus chapter 12, turn with me there. We'll spend some time, and I'd just like for you to be reminded of what all was going on, the reason why the Passover celebration and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was even instituted. Why was this even an issue for Jesus and His disciples? Well, Exodus chapter 12 tells us very clearly. Exodus 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every male or every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male a year old, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." As we look, you can remember back that certainly Exodus is God bringing His people out of Egypt. They're in bondage. They are in slavery to Pharaoh. And God heard the cry of His people, and He raised up Moses to come and be the one who was God's spokesperson. Moses then spoke to Aaron, and then Aaron did some of the speaking. Moses didn't feel equipped. Maybe he didn't feel comfortable as a public speaker, but whatever the case was, God accomplished His purposes, and God had brought many plagues upon Egypt. And we find there in the beginning of the book of Exodus, many times we find that Pharaoh hardened his heart. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't pay attention to these plagues, at least for very long. He'd cry to Moses and say, "Pray for me so that these gnats are not all over the place, or these frogs," or whatever the situation was. But it was only a temporary thing. And then also the Scripture says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart many times. And there have been many disagreements upon that, but the Scripture says certainly that Pharaoh hardened his heart and God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And God is accomplishing His deliverance for His people. We come to the full and final, the tenth plague, the final plague, in order for the people of God to be taken out of Egypt. And this is how the Lord will accomplish it. There'll be a Passover, and each house should take a lamb. And the issue is, they keep talking about the numbers. If your household is too small for a lamb, then you need to get together with another household. And the common number that comes up throughout is, if you have 10 people, 10 people is the minimum number of people that ought to be eating one of these Passover lambs, and no more than 20. So that's just kind of the ground rules. It seems like as I was reading through, that number came up many times. It's probably from the tradition, the Jewish tradition or whatnot in the writings. But this is this day that's described, the first month of the year, and in the 14th day, everyone ought to come together and kill the Passover lamb together. And in Mark chapter 14, it's the first day of unleavened bread when they sacrifice the Passover. And that word is, Passover is used and has multiple meanings. It can either refer to the festival of the Passover. They don't sacrifice a day. No, they sacrifice the Passover lamb. So the disciples had concern. When should we do this? But let me continue on and read in the book of Exodus, because this is truly amazing. I think the display of the power of God to accomplish the deliverance of His people. So they ought to kill the lambs. And then what next? Exodus 12 and verse 7. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head and its legs and its inner parts. You shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. And in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And the Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And this is a terrible day. This is a terrible day in the land of Egypt. For there will be the firstborn from both man and beast killed throughout the land of Egypt. God is making a point here, and He will not spare any unless one thing. They must kill the Passover lamb. They must take some of its blood, and they must put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the door. And when the Lord travels through there, and He comes and does His work of destroying, if He sees the blood, He will pass over, and no one will be harmed in that household. And God says there in verse 14 of Exodus 12 that this ought to go on and on. And it certainly has. In Mark 14, we see the observance of the Passover meal with Jesus and His disciples. Exodus 12 and 14, it says, "This day shall be to you a memorial day. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month of the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread." The Lord is pretty clear. He says you ought to observe this as a memorial. This day that I will pass over those people, the Hebrew people, and deliver them, use this great work of judgment, really, I mean, destroying all the firstborn. You ought to remember this. Remember what the Lord has done. So Moses called all the elders together, and he said, and there in verse 21, he called the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop." I found out when I was in Israel that's basically oregano, or it smells like it to me. No, I don't know. I could be telling you wrong now. But anyways, I was shown it, and it smelled like something very familiar. I think it was oregano. I'll check back with you on that. So take a bunch of this small weed that they were to pick out, and you know it was readily available out growing around. What you do with that is dip it in the blood of the lamb that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you should go out of the door of the house until morning, for the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. When he sees the blood on the lintel on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door, will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And there is purpose behind the Lord doing this. We find, you shall observe this rite forever. Verse 25, when you come into the land that the Lord will give you, as He has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for He passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when He struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. And Israel went and did so, and as the Lord had commanded, as Moses and Aaron, they did. You know, this had great importance. I mean, hundreds of years later, Jesus and the disciples are still observing the Passover. I just want to read this next section to talk about the reality of what actually happened there. Exodus 12 and 29. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn who was captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord. As you have said, take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, be gone and bless me also. The Lord used this plague of the death of the firstborn to deliver the people. And the people of God ought to never remember or ought to never forget the day that the Lord delivered them from this great bondage that they were under. So there is this Passover supper. And you can turn back to Mark chapter 14 now. And so the disciples asked there in verse 12, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, they asked him, where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? It's important. I mean, the disciples know that they need to be there. I mean, all the pilgrims had been gathered into Jerusalem at that time. Many people would come, and you know, in Jesus' day, where the Passover lamb was slain was in the temple. So that's how they have some estimates of anyways how many people would have been in Jerusalem or around Jerusalem during those days. And it was a whole lot of folks that gathered into Jerusalem to observe the Passover because the lamb must be slain in the temple. But Jesus gave them a response. He gave them the details. And this is what he said. Sent two of his disciples. He said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. One thing that I read that is pointed out, I'll just make some comments as we go through this section. What's the big deal about a man carrying a jar of water? They just said that it was customary for a woman to be carrying the jars of water. A man would carry water at times. It was normally being a skin. So when they saw this man that happened to have a jar, they would know who to follow. At any rate, they saw him, they were to follow him when they saw him. And Jesus said, wherever he enters, say to the master of the house. The teacher says, where is my guest room that I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare for us. Jesus told all the details of what was to happen as the men went into the city. We find this other places in Scripture. The Lord knows all the details. I like how it says there that the teacher says, it didn't even give a formal description there, but I'm looking over here, the master or the teacher. And so apparently the Lord had already arranged this by means of His sovereign purposes. And He will show you. You find this guy, you go to the house where he enters, and you ask the owner of the house where the guest room is, where you can eat the Passover with the disciples, and he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Another note here, just a comment, when they find a room that is furnished, that means literally that it's been, that the carpets are rolled out, because you know there was not a lot of furniture in the room. They're reclining to do their eating. I guess a carpet and a pillow was the furnishings there. But it would be all ready, Jesus said. And when you get there, prepare for us. The disciples set out in verse 16 and went into the city and found it just as He had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, we read in Exodus, and it talked about some details of the Passover. It said that there's unleavened bread that's part of the Passover. It said that you got the Passover lamb, and also there are bitter herbs. So the disciples need to get all this together. They need to prepare, and they did prepare for the Passover. We see that at this Passover observance, in verse 17, it was evening, and He came with the 12, and they were reclining at table eating. So the Passover observance had begun, and Jesus, one thing He did was He talked about the betrayal, that He would be betrayed by one of the 12. And then He also, in verses 22 through 25, gave the most full understanding or a new interpretation of some of the elements of the Passover meal. We'll look at that in more detail. But what were the disciples preparing for? What does this Passover meal look like? I wanted to give you a little bit more details about that. Maybe some of you have participated in a Jewish Passover Seder. Tricia and I got to in Israel, and it was with Messianic Jews, Jews that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And so it was very helpful to get all the interpretations of the elements of the traditional Jewish Passover meal through the eyes of a Christian or through the eyes of a person that believed on Jesus as the Messiah. I'll point out some of those to you. But this, the participants of this meal are to recall the slavery that reigned, the slavery that was that they were in Egypt, and they would eat matzah or the poor person's bread, this unleavened bread. They're to eat bitter herbs, which symbolize the bitterness of slavery. And also, there is another thing. It's called charoset. It's like a sweet paste. It's made out of nuts and fruit, and this represented the mortar that went in between the bricks. There's several different elements, several different things that would be part of the Passover, the traditional Passover meal. So I wanted to point those out to you. And so then the first half, they remember their bondage and their slavery. And it says the second half, they would eat the bread of freedom. It's also called the bread of affliction. And then also there was a dessert at the end of the meal. And then and this whole meal is designed, as we read in Exodus 12, for the children to understand what the great things that God had done. And so the traditional Passover meal, the Seder, it's really geared towards children. I'm going to bring that out. It is interesting. I mean, this was a true means of teaching the young children the way that they observed the supper. But there also was four cups of wine that were part of this meal. And they were, there were, you had a small green leafy vegetable, some say parsley or whatever, and then a small bowl with some salt water in it. These are just some details. I don't remember all these details from when I went through this, but And then you're supposed to dip the leafy vegetable, parsley, whatever, in the salt water. And that's to symbolize, the salt water is to symbolize the tears of the Jewish people that were poured out. I mean, they were under great affliction. They cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry. So there's several elements of this. The four cups of wine represent four expressions of deliverance promised by God. And go ahead and turn back with me to Exodus chapter 6, because I thought this was interesting. That God's great work of deliverance, it's amazing the way that He delivered His people, and it is certainly amazing the way that He has delivered us through the perfect blood of Jesus, through His body being broken and His blood being poured out. Look with me at Exodus chapter 6 in two verses, verse 6 and 7. There's four cups of wine in this meal. So let me read this to you. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. The first cup, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Second cup, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. Third cup, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And fourth cup, in verse 7, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So four cups. And they align with the four I will statements. I will bring you out, I will deliver, I will redeem, and I will take you. That's what the disciples are preparing for. The Passover, the great memorial of the Lord's deliverance of His people. But Jesus includes some other elements in this Passover observance. One is that He told that one of them would betray Him. They had already heard Jesus say numerous times, I'll be delivered up into the hands of men, I'll be killed, and I'll be buried, but then I will rise again. They'd already heard this information, but they did not know to this point that it would be one of them. In verse 17 of Mark 14, when it was evening, He came with the 12, and as they were reclining at table eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. One who is eating with me. They had a response to Jesus' words. They began to be sorrowful and to say to Him one after another, is it I? He said to them, it is one of the twelve, one who is dipping the bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of Him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Jesus gives these details, and we can think back. It says that as the Son of Man goes, as it is written of Him. We can think back to Psalm 41 and 9. It says, even my close friend whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Jesus says, it's going to be one of you. And He says, woe to that man whom the Son of Man has betrayed. It would have been better for him if he had not been born. Gill points out, woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, whose sin will not be excused or lessened by fulfilling the decrees of God. As it is written, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man. So Gill says, his sin will not be excused or lessened by fulfilling the decrees of God and by accomplishing the prophecies of the Bible. We need to make note of that. Certainly, that this was of great consequence, to say the least, to Judas Iscariot, who Jesus is describing here. But as they go through the elements of the supper, we get down to where Jesus begins what we call the institution of the Lord's Supper, or Jesus gave us our ordinance to celebrate as a remembrance of taking a piece of of bread and taking a cup of wine representing the body and the blood of Jesus. So France points out the unleavened bread together with the Passover lamb and the bitter herbs was one of the items over which interpretive words must be spoken as part of the Passover ceremony. You can look up online. You can find out, you know, the whole thing as they go through the traditional Passover celebration. It's spoken of in different ways. The Passover lamb, the unleavened bread, and the bitter herbs. And the specific point of the symbolism being because our fathers were redeemed from Egypt, but the interpretive words spoken by Jesus are very different. You know, Jesus gives us different interpretation to these elements of the Passover supper. I want to point out to you the four cups and show you what the traditional understanding would be. The first cup is I will bring you out, or the cup of sanctification. The traditional Jewish view would be that we are to be clean of yeast. That's the whole point, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's part of it. But the fulfillment, according to Messianic Jews, is that we are to be clean of sin. And Yeshua, speaking of Jesus, is the only way to be cleansed of our sins. So as the Messianic Jew celebrates this Passover celebration, the first cup of sanctification reminds them that they are to be clean of sin, that Jesus is the only way to be cleansed of their sin. Just some points to think about. That how the Passover, when we look to the Old Testament, we see pictures and we see types and we see symbols, and we ought to be able to look to the Old Testament and see Christ and for this traditional observance of the Passover meal. The second cup, the cup of plagues, it goes along with the I will deliver you. How did the Lord deliver His people? Well, it was through plagues. So the traditional Jewish understanding would be a remembrance of the plagues in Egypt. But the fulfillment is the remembrance of our trials and tribulations that develops perseverance, humility, and maturity in our walk with the Lord. For the Lord even delivers us from a life of worldliness through trials and tribulations. The third cup, the cup of redemption. I will redeem you. This is what many say is what in Mark chapter 14, when it says that Jesus took the cup there in verse 23, they say that the third cup, the cup of redemption, is what Jesus would have taken at that moment. So traditionally it would have been understood that it symbolizes the blood of the Passover lamb who saved the Israelites from death. For if there was not blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, they would not be passed over. But the fulfillment is that Jesus is our Passover lamb whose blood saved us from death. And this cup is the cup used in communion or the Lord's Supper. And finally, the cup of praise. I will take you to a new land, or I will take you to be my people. The cup of praise. Traditionally, to give thanks to God for guiding the Israelites out of Egypt. But the fulfillment is that we're to always have praise on our lips for our salvation that is given through Jesus. So just some different things to think about. Jesus celebrates this Passover, and there can be many pictures drawn out from that. This observance is for a purpose of teaching the children many times. And so there are questions that they should ask. Exodus 12 said, when they ask, the question that comes is, most generally, how is this night different from all other nights? And this is what children would ask the head of household, the leader of the Passover meal. On all other nights, we eat bread or matzah. But on this night, why do we eat only matzah? This would be a question that could be in the children's minds. Why only unleavened bread this night? On all other nights, we eat all kinds of vegetables. On this night, why do we eat only bitter herbs? And on all other nights, We do not dip our vegetables even once, but on this night we dip them twice, refers to dipping the parsley twice in the salt water before eating it. And on all other nights, we eat our meals sitting or reclining. And on this night, we only eat this meal reclining. And this is questions from a current Passover Seder. Because in Exodus 12, what was the posture of celebrating the meal? You had your shoes on, your belt around your waist, and you were ready to go. For you were about to be thrust out of Egypt. The Egyptians wanted you to leave in a hurry. And they would give you their goods and their gold and whatever, just get out of here. But as time went on, the posture for celebrating the Passover was reclining. For it says there that Jesus, in verse 18, as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said to them. So this is the position. And then the leader of the supper would say, tonight is different from all other nights, because tonight we remember what God has done for His people. We remember. And one of the elements on the plate of the Passover celebration would be the lamb bone. And Isaiah told of the coming Messiah that He would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. We know that Jesus is our final blood atonement, so that we would be freed from the bondage of our sin and we would be passed over from death. Can't you see? It's beautiful as we think even about what is a traditional Passover celebration. Can't you see Christ in it? Can't you see Christ, the bitter herbs, the bondage to our sin, our slavery to sin, literally is the way Romans puts it. So, I just thought it was interesting that the Ethiopian eunuch invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. The Ethiopian eunuch was even there on Isaiah 53. And then Philip, of course, explained to him that Scripture. And he explained to him Christ from the Scripture. So there's a lot of beautiful pictures here, but this Passover celebration in Mark 14 becomes more full with Jesus showing how these elements pertain specifically to His body. In verse 22 of Mark 14, as they were eating, He took bread, and after blessing it, He broke it and gave it to them. He said, "Take, this is my body," or "Take and eat, this is my body." And He took a cup when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." We know that the picture of the bread being broken, Jesus says, is my body. It's a picture of my body that will be broken. Isaiah says that He will be a man that He can't even be recognizable. He will be beaten so bad. That is what is to come. The body of Jesus will be broken. And Jesus said, as He took the cup, "This is my blood of the new covenant." You know, a covenant was always established with blood. In Exodus 24, 7 and 8, "Then He took the book of the covenant and He read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we will be obedient.'" What a proper response to the reading of Scripture, of God's Word. "And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, 'Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words.'" You know, some places when they read Scripture, there's always a response to the reading of Scripture. Over there at seminary at Beeson, if somebody read a text of Scripture, when they got finished reading the text of Scripture, they would say, "This is the word of the Lord." And then the whole congregation responded back, "Thanks be to God." But look at this in Exodus 24. Once Moses read from the book of the covenant, he said, "All that the Lord," this is what all the people said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." That's a pretty amazing statement. If we were going to have a response after our scripture reading, that would be a good one. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. But we know that the covenant is established by blood, and the new covenant is established by Jesus' blood. And this blood of Jesus is shed for many. We find there in Mark, and we find out in Matthew for forgiveness of sins. This blood is shed for many. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. It speaks of the blood of the suffering servant being poured out. It speaks of him suffering for many, on the account of many. Isaiah 53 and 11. Isaiah 53, verse 11. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. The blood is poured out for many, and the suffering servant will make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This blood will be shed for many. This blood will be poured out for many. And there is this theme in Scripture. I might have shared this already here. I was visiting in a nursing home some months back, and this lady had kind of a stern look on her face, and she told me, she said, many are called, but few are chosen. I said, yes, ma'am, that's the truth. And then also it comes to mind, narrow is the road, and narrow is the gate, and few that enter by it. You know, certainly a biblical theme, but she was all humdrum about it and kind of acted like she was depressed. She really does. She won't talk to me now. But anyways, I told her, I said, well, but don't you, or I said, well, let's also be encouraged by the fact that there will be a multitude that no one can number that will be around the throne of God, who will be worshiping the Lamb who was slain. Out of the book of Revelation, we find that. And this passage also points to Mark chapter 14. It says that Jesus says, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Thanks be to God that the deliverance is of many. And so we ought to proclaim the message to all and trust that He will bring in those who are His. They will be made born again. Jesus fully fulfills the Passover. Jesus gives new interpretation to this Passover meal. So we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the body of Jesus being broken and the blood of Jesus being poured out. And Jesus goes on there and he says, truly I say to you, I will not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Speaking of the fuller fulfillment, speaking of the day that he drinks it new in the kingdom of God, he will drink the true wine. The true celebration and means of rejoicing with the Lord will be in the kingdom of God. The fruit of the vine, France pointed out that this is a phrase used in the traditional Thanksgiving for wine, part of the Passover meal there. So, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine. And we see this passage of Scripture as we think about, I hope we can think about it as we look back. Okay, we started by seeing that Jesus and His disciples were going to celebrate the Passover. We look back all the way to Exodus chapter 12 and chapter 13 when that actually got worked out. And the Lord did bring out, He delivered His people powerfully. And the Lord said, the God told Moses and Aaron, you ought to observe this as memorial. A memorial of God's redeeming work. And so they've come on through, and even to the time of Jesus, they are celebrating this great Passover, this great deliverance of the Lord. And then we can see the fullest fulfillment What is deliverance truly? It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. As he celebrates the supper, and he says that actually, as you look at this bread, you can certainly remember the suffering in Egypt, and you can remember the time in the wilderness just eating this unleavened bread. But you can also now, in the most fullest sense, see this bread and when it's broken at the celebration, whether it be of a Passover celebration or at the Lord's Supper, and say, this is the body of Jesus that is broken. For he will die. He will bear our sins. By his stripes and by his wounds we are healed. And then we can see, as Jesus says, that the blood is the blood of the new covenant. There is a new covenant established through the blood of Jesus. No longer are all the cups of wine only a remembrance of what God has done. They're no longer just a remembrance of the things that God said. God said, I will bring you out. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you as a people to myself. But now we can see the cup. We can see the wine as Jesus' perfect blood that has been poured out. His precious blood, as Peter talks about. And that ultimately points us to God's full and final fulfillment of all his deliverance and salvation history. It's today and the Resurrection Sunday. We think about it. It wasn't just that Jesus' body was broken, that his blood was going to be poured out. But no, Jesus would be raised from the dead to show that his the atoning sacrifice was accepted by the Father. So now, all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope that you can see Jesus as the fulfillment of all God's salvation history. I hope that you can rejoice, even as we remember the Lord's Supper. Let that be something to you as a true remembrance, not just in your head, but also your heart. Lord, thank you for dying in my place, for there is salvation and no one else. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, he's talking about in chapter 5, cleansing the church because there's gross sins of sexual immorality there. But he says, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Jesus is our Passover lamb. And so what is the only response to this great work of salvation? The only proper response of God's work of salvation is worship. And so we can think of a passage such as Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Let's pray together. Lord, I ask that you would stir us up. Lord, I ask that we can see your salvation work throughout the whole of Scripture. Lord, we thank you that you told the serpent that the offspring of the woman would crush the head of your offspring, of the offspring of the serpent. We thank you that, Lord, you told Abraham that you would bless him and he would be a blessing to the nations. We thank you that you told David that he would have a descendant on the throne forever and ever. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all your salvation. For his kingdom shall last forever and ever. There will be nothing that can stand against the kingdom of Christ. We thank you so much for you loving us even to the end, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would grant us grace to depend and trust upon you. Grant us faith, Lord, true saving faith. Lord, thank you so much for your great work of salvation. Let us respond properly by saying, worthy is the Lamb. It's only through Jesus that we pray. Amen.